knowing how loved we are. In case you fall asleep or decide to get your Sudoku out and remember nothing else that I say, don't fall asleep. Just remember that you are loved by God. I should do what American preachers do at this point. Repeat after me, I am loved by God. I am loved by God. Thank you. We've been on a training course this week, me, Kath, Dan, Colin, and Jane, and oh, these some of the American preachers, they're all this, and repeat after me. I won't start doing that. So I just know that when we know who we are in Christ, that makes a difference. Yeah? That changes us. It changes how we see ourselves, it changes how we see others, and in that, in turn, it changes how we do our discipleship, how we speak to people outside. It's all good stuff. If you've missed any of the series so far, do listen to them online. They're all there. I would recommend it, especially my weeks. I'm joking. So far, we've thought about how much God loves us, how his grace is all we need, the amazing fact that when we say yes to Jesus, we are adopted into God's family. We've thought about how God wants closeness and intimacy with us, that he wants to spend time with us. Sometimes I don't want to spend time with me, but God wants to spend time with us, that he has a plan for our lives that will always be good because he, by nature, is good. He is love. So tonight we're continuing that theme of looking at God's love for us and asking ourselves the question, how does God reveal his love? Have you thought about that question? How has God revealed his love? How does he show us? And I thought we'd zip through some four very simple things, simple not, four ways in which God shows his love. And as you know, I am a big lover of things that begin with the same letter. I love a bit of alliteration. And so this came to me in a moment of inspiration. So four words, all beginning, because I'm a preacher, all beginning with the same letter, R. Your sermon tonight is brought to you by the letter R. And the first is redemption. Yeah, it's a good word. It's a good word. It's a churchy word. But most of us will know what it means. If we don't, the dictionary defines redemption as this. The act of redeeming or atoning for a fault or mistake, or the state of being redeemed, deliverance. Rescue, that's the only simple word on that page. Rescue, it's the fact that God rescues us. It's the fact that Jesus buys us back. He pays the price of our sin. He takes that on himself so that we can be friends with God, so that we are literally pulled out from disaster, and we are rescued. We are saved from a fate worse than death, eternal death, because, woohoo, we are loved. Yay! Thank you, heaven. So if you want to know what God's love looks like, the word redemption means look at Jesus. Because he will always be the look of God's love. If you want to know what God's love looks like, primarily we see that in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. A tangible, physical expression that you are loved, you rat bag. You are loved. This is a great, great Bible verse. It says this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ dies for us. He shows us love whilst we're still far away, whilst we have no right to be shown love, whilst we are rat bags extreme, and I still am, when we're the least lovable, when we're undeserving, when we've done nothing to make God like us, Scripture says that God shows his love by sorting out our problem with sin and by sending us Jesus. He redeems us. God shows us that he loves us in Jesus. Number one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus. That's what redemption looks like. That's the heart of God, that God wants us, and so finds a way to do that. And that way is Jesus. Amen? You might have seen this or heard this phrase before. I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? Jesus said this much. Then he stretched out his hands and he died. I love you this much. I'm doing that quite gently because I've got a really bad shoulder. And it actually hurts to do that. It hurts me to do that. Hurt Jesus way more. I love you this much. I'm going to stop doing that. I love you this much, says Jesus. And he opens up his arms. Those arms cover the whole world. In fact, Psalm 103 reminds us, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's a big, wide reach. As far as the east is from the west. That's cruciform. That's cross-shaped as far as the east is from the west. That's a big love. You're loved. And God shows that in Jesus dying and rising so that you can be redeemed and brought back. So first word tonight, first R, is redemption. The second is revelation. It's not the book, although that's good. If you misunderstand the book of Revelation, I can give a little summary in this way. It's all very odd. But at the end, God wins. Hurrah. You see, I'm a biblical scholar. So first we have redemption. Then we have revelation. What do I mean by revelation? Well, revelation is what God says in his word. I read this on the internet, so it probably is completely true. Apparently, the longest and simplest love letter ever written was the work of the Parisian painter named Marcel de Lecour in 1875. It contained the French words, I love you, 1,875,000 times. That's a love letter and a half, isn't it? You get handache writing that. Well, Marcel didn't get handache writing that because apparently he didn't even bother writing it himself. He said it to his secretary, and his secretary had to write it. I wonder if it was to his secretary. Someone in writing about this, let's not go there, in writing about this, Robert Ripley says, never was love made manifest by such a great expenditure of time and effort?
Really?
And as I was reading about that, I thought, well, that's a bit ridiculous, really. How loving is it to write I love you in the same way over a million times? It's not very imaginative, is it? But God shows us more than a million times that he loves us when we open up this love letter. It's astonishing. Again and again, from beginning to the end, we open up any page, and it's the story of God's love with humanity. It's his love story with us, of his chasing us, of his wanting us, of his fighting for us, for his revealing his love, for his, oh, everywhere from beginning to end. He doesn't just say that. It's in every line, well, not quite every line, but in every chapter of every book, there is something about God's love. It's revealed in black and white, in the stories of humanity from the beginning of time. And he doesn't just say that. He doesn't just say, well, I love you. He acts on it. This is a story of how God has acted on his love. He provides prophets when people have gone a different way. He provides prophets to go, hello, you're going the wrong way. Turn back and follow me. That's actually because of love. You know, those of us who are parents, we can't let our children get away with everything or even anything. Love means that we turn them in the right direction when we need to, and that's in here how God reveals his love. He provides prophets, he provides priests and poets to guide his people on the right path. That's how God reveals his love. Again and again, stories of miracles, stories of supernatural, amazing stuff. Last week, Dan read out that beautiful love letter from the Father, which is dozens and dozens of scriptures about the purposes and the plans that God has for us, that he shows what he's done, and then he acts on it because he loves us. There are thousands of statements, thousands of things about the love of God in this book. One of my favorites is this. It's from Zephaniah. The Lord your God is with you. Well, that's good news, isn't it? The mighty warrior who saves, he will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that fantastic? How does that make you feel that the Father God doesn't just tolerate you, but rejoices over you, delights in you, looks at you and goes, and loves you so much that he wants to burst into song when he sees you. Nobody bursts into song when they see me, apart from the Lord, obviously. And it reminds me of, you know what parents do when they're trying to get the children to sleep? They sing over them. That's what we did with Rebecca. It didn't particularly work very well. I was like, shut up, stop singing. But that's what God does over us. He rejoices over you with singing. I just think that is amazing. So God's word is one way that God reveals his love, because it's there in black and white. You can't miss it. If you have missed it, I suggest you read it again. You're not reading it properly if you've missed it. Another way God reveals his love to us, I think, is in creation. Whatever you believe about the origins of the universe, I believe in a creator God whose love and care is sown into every rainbow, into every polar ice cap, into every mountain stream. God's word reminds us in the Psalm 33, verse 5, that God's love, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full, bless you, of his unfailing love. There are limitless expressions of God's love, his unconditional love for us. I think creation is one of them. God made the world and declared it good. He made you and declared it good. I mean, we're amazing. I mean, just look at yourself. You're amazing. God did good. Just look at one another. We have unique fingerprints. We have spleens. And exciting things like that. We are made intricately with identity, with the blueprint of the Father in us. We are put together in our mother's womb, as science and scripture tells us. He makes us. Creation reveals his love. Colossians says this: for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. We've got a God who's creative and giving. We heard about that earlier. Who expresses his love practically and enjoys what he has made. That includes every person here. Made and known and loved. John 1:3 says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. God shows his love through redemption. He shows his love through all sorts of revelation. I've only included a couple. He shows his love through relationship. I'm liking these R's. They're good, aren't they? I spoke a couple of weeks ago about the fact that God adopts us. That when we say our yes to Jesus, we are adopted into a new family. That's how God makes us secure. That's how any child is made secure, through identity and through family. God, excuse me, parents us into promise and into purpose. And we're given that security of relationship and the security of an eternal home with the status of family. Romans 8 says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Again, rather the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We have a Father. We have a way to be known. God shows he loves us by welcoming us into relationship. And I just think that is the bee's knees. The bee's knees. You are known and you are named. And that gives us freedom. There's loads of things about adoption. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. About family. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. There's loads. I included too many. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. We are children of the living God. God reveals his love to us by calling us family. By thinking of us before we were even born, before the foundations of the world, Ephesians 1 says. And he gives us a way to respond in relationship. not just with him, but with one another. We are redeemed, we're given revelation. God shows his love through relationship. Last one, renewal. This is a bit of a, what R can I fit in what I want to say in? Say. Do you know, God does not leave us to fathom everything out by ourselves. He doesn't say when we're saved, right, you're in, you're on your own now. He doesn't leave us by ourselves. He walks with us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He lavishes on us what we need to grow, to deepen, to learn. He gives us what we need to be set free, to be made whole, to be healed. Those gifts that Susan mentioned, freely available to all of us. We just need to ask. Gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. We just need to ask. Blessings upon blessings. Mercy after mercy. I could have called our final R response, because you probably know, and I certainly know, that we have a God who responds to us, that we're not left on our own. And we could share stories. If everyone was standing here, we could reveal stories about where God has stepped in and spoken. Time and again, when life is hard, when we're just hanging on in there, and when everything has been tickety-boo and fabulous, God has revealed it in himself in love by the way he's gone, "Hi, I'm here. I'm walking with you." When in the midst of grief and sorrow you need his peace, God says to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not give to you as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid." He gives us strength in times of uncertainty. And I'm sure that, you know, all of us could tell stories of when just at the right moment, God has answered prayer. Somebody's turned up at the right moment. Some of you are nodding. You know, with a word or a picture or with a reminder of scripture that it's just what you needed at that time, with an answered prayer, with a sense of supernatural peace. We could all tell each other those stories of the here and now, of the love of God. That God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. It's not just about the cross. That means I'm not demeaning the work of the cross. It's not just about what happened thousands of years ago. It's what that means for us here and now, too. That redemption reminds us of a God who works every day, every moment, by our side, walking it out with us. Of a God who does not forget us. I love this scripture. It's not two pennies sold for a penny, not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the hairs on your head are numbered. That's all right for the men and for the women. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. God reveals his love to us in the fact that he does not let us go. In redemption, in Jesus on the cross, in revelation, in what his word says, in relationship with us, and in renewal in the Holy Spirit, in the way that he responds, that he gives and he gives and he gives. I'd like to invite the band back up, who are going to lead us into communion. So the question I want to leave with you tonight is, you know, maybe none of that is rocket science. You know all of that. It's a reminder. How are you responding to the love that God has shown you in all that we have spoken about? How are you responding to that? How is that percolating, I love that word, into your life? How is that making a difference? How is that impacting your discipleship? How is that impacting the words that you speak to the people that you'll see tomorrow? How is that making you the person that God wants you to be? Maybe tonight you need to be asking, as we said earlier on, for those gifts that God does want to give. Maybe ask. Maybe as we worship God together, maybe that's what you need to be doing. Saying more, Lord, more. Because God wants to give. God reveals his love. We're going to gather. And we're going to remember. And we're not meeting around the communion table tonight, deliberately so. We're meeting around the font. This is the font, a beautiful font. The band are going to lead us in worship in a moment. And we are going to respond by remembering. By remembering what God has done for us in Jesus. And we're here at the font. And it's at the font when people are traditionally welcomed into family. And in communion, we are reminded who made us family by the love of God, poured out and broken in Jesus Christ, so that we could be called his. It was on the night in which Jesus was betrayed that he, with his friends, took bread, gave thanks to God and broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Remember me." And later, with his friends, he took a cup and said, "This cup is the cup of suffering. I will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this. Remember me." And so we do as Jesus showed us and as he commanded us. Let's say thank you to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you pour yourself out again and again, that you throw our sin as far as east is from the west. Holy Spirit, would you pour yourself out afresh on us and on this bread and wine, and help us remember. Thank you for revealing your love to us in bread broken and wine poured, and in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So the band are going to lead us in worship, and as we are worshiping, I invite you to come and remember. Here at this place of family, we are reminded why we are family in what he has done. So come when you're ready as an act of worship, and be reminded of how God reveals his love to each other.